Yeah.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Episode 4. I'm so excited for this episode.
I am super excited to wind down today
all of you, because we're talking about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
And we have an expert.
Yeah, Mike's here.
Well, we have two experts. Mike is back.
Mike is back for his grand return, and we brought him in for the sex and intimacy episode.
Oh, God. I mean, is this like a couples therapy session, like on air right now? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, do you have questions?
Did you come with them? No. See, that's the thing. Janet doesn't steer me.
I told you we were talking about sex.
I don't know. She talks about so much. I can't listen to everything.
I think he honestly,
we only have so much
me
mental
in.
Capacity to take everything it said.
I think you tune me in and tune me out sometimes. Like, but no, parent. We're talking about sex and intimacy today. All right. And that's something that we have issues with in the bedroom.
Yes, sometimes. I think everybody does.
I know. I think everybody does too. Yeah. 100%.
And you just had your anniversary.
Yeah, we just had our anniversary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had fun. Did you have fun?
No, she's that night.
And we just got our answer, people.
You were just dying to ask. All right. So, babe, I think, what do you think our biggest issue in the bedroom is?
A lot of it is communication and expectations.
Yeah.
I think, you know, where if we try to get in the space of reading each other's mind and, you know, oh, it's been a couple of days, we're going to have sex, and, you know, that person, you know, isn't in the mood or too tired or this or that, then the other person feels let down.
Right.
I know for me in particular, you know, the stereotype for men is that we're just light switches, and no matter what, we can just have sex. Just, you know, as soon as our wives or significant others say that, we're just like, all right, let's do it.
So you're saying it's like more mental for you?
Yeah. I think in men in general, I don't think, you know, I think more guys can relate than people might be surprised with how many men can relate the fact that, especially when you're involved with someone with intimacy, that it takes a lot more than just, hey, hon, let's go have sex. It's like, sometimes we want some foreplay. Sometimes we want to be wine and dined a little bit and like feel special and stroke our ego a little bit. And then, you know, that might build our confidence or whatever it may be.
I definitely hear you, because I mean, I know we have some arguments where it's, you know, I think unfortunately the infidelity piece plays a part in this, because there's times when I'm like, you know, I do want to have sex, but and I play the game of waiting for you to come to me, because I'm like, well, you know, why doesn't he want me? Why doesn't he want to sleep with me when he would, you know, since he slept with someone else? So I think that does play a part with like my head and like where, you know, and I know other listeners that have, you know, have infidelity in a relationship, like that is, you know, something they said that is a problem, because they like, we want to feel wanted and chosen, you know, when y'all didn't choose us. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I guess like for me, it's like, I wish we could find someone that could help us like get out of our heads.
Yeah. And that's
because I think we are both mentally, like when we're in bed, like you have anxiety, like, God, I have to, but I mean, you know, I'm tired from work, or, right. But she's, you know, she probably wants. And then I'm like, I'm not pretty enough, and I'm insecure. And I'm like, why doesn't he choose me? And like, I feel rejected again. And it's like, I feel like it's like, how do we stay present? How do we stay in the moment? How do we, you know, and not feel like we're having to meet these like grand expectations of something, right, that we might not be able to, or at the time even want to.
Right.
It's not saying that you don't think I'm pretty, or you don't think that you don't want to have sex with me, but you know, when infidelity does play a part, that's what affects our sex life. And then, you know, I get upset, you get upset, and you're like, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think in general, you know, especially when there is infidelity involved, communication is key. And I think you and I have slowly gotten better at this, at communicating and coming to each other, be like, hey, I'm starting to feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple of days. I'm starting to feel, you know, these triggers are coming up, or these feelings are coming up. Like, and then, you know, anytime you've done that to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, no, that's not it at all. Like, I've genuinely been tired, or I, you know, generally just haven't been in the mood, but I love you so much. And yes, let's connect, or whatever it may be. So I think that's a big part, especially when infidelity is involved, because just like I said in the last episode I was on, I don't want to feel tested. And I feel like there's passive aggressiveness in the sense of like, I know you're waiting for me, but there hasn't been any talk about it. And then I get in my head and I'm like,
I want to feel chosen. I want to feel like that you like, you know, a part of me is like, you left me, so now choose me. Right. Like, jump on me. You know what I mean? Like, and so that's like, that's hard. But I also know in your mind, it's like, yeah, it's been a long day. We have Jolie and you're tired and we're tired. And maybe I just want, and maybe you just want to go to sleep. It's not because you don't think I'm pretty or, but it's just so, it's interesting, like how both of our minds can be two different places, and then, but yet we can both be frustrated, and that's just, that's hard.
Yeah,
and I know the communication, and you're right, we have like done a better job at that, but it's still like sometimes we're like, you say that you want the foreplay too, and it's like, but sometimes I think like the person that has been affected in infidelity wants the foreplay more because. It's like, you know, like the other day when you're like, surprise me. I was like, okay, you know, like it made me feel special. It made me feel like, you know, even though it was, you know, it was incredibly spontaneous. And I was like, oh, wow. Like I didn't feel like your wife, like just like, you know, laying next to you. I don't know. I just, it was something different that like, it was nice. It just felt like it was like you wanted me and it felt wanted. So. Just know that I like the spontaneous.
Yeah, the spontaneity is, I think, key too when there's issues.
Every once in a while, for sure.
Yeah, once in a while, like you and I have, where it's just, you know, if it starts to become this planning thing, then I get in my head, especially, and it's just like anxiety, like built up to performing, and you know, my insecurities or whatever, however I feel about myself in that moment might take over, you know, how I really feel or how I want to be with you. You know, again, that's something that I'm sure most men won't really admit. Is, you know, insecurities that they may have with performing or, you know, issues with intimacy, which you know I have, where, you know, me, I never connected sex and intimacy and love together before in my life. Now being in a real relationship with you that deals with intimacy and really growing together as a couple, as two human beings, like, that is so uncomfortable for me. But I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to get to that level, like, of intimacy and, like, what that's really like. And, again, I think a lot of people don't look into it like that.
I mean, and that's the thing. Yes. I mean, and I thank you for like saying that but it also makes me sad because I'm like, I want that intimacy. I want that like that and not just sex. I know intimacy isn't just sex. It's everything like leading up to it and our relationship and communication. And I know that like, you know, sex and intimacy, you haven't coupled together. So, I mean, what are you doing to?
Well, that's the thing. I think, you know, I'm starting to. And I think you're seeing that, that I'm starting to correlate the two. And it's not a decision that I have made in my life. It's not like, oh, I'm going to have issues with intimacy. I choose that. No, it's just, you know, things that have happened throughout my life that have caused me to not relate sex and love and intimacy. And so it's just different for me.
Yeah.
It's different. And having to go through that at, you know, 31 years old, when I spent the whole rest of my life not correlating the two, is that's a change.
Do you think it's possible?
Absolutely. I think I've already shown at times it's possible. And it's just only something that I can, by practicing, by taking contrary action from what I would do in the past and putting myself in uncomfortable situations, which is very hard to do, but choosing to do that because I want to grow with you.
Thank you for sharing.
Wow. So I'm so curious, what was the intimacy level before the infidelity? What was it like, you two as a couple, before the infidelity?
The problem was, I mean, do you want to say it or?
Go ahead.
No, I'll let you do it because I don't want to get you mad at me. I don't want to say that because I know how sensitive you are to certain things. And I know this is hard. It's not easy, but again, like, you know, you have realized like how many people we are helping as well. But from my take of it, it was great in the very beginning. Like, but then again, he meets someone that he loves and he's struggled with intimacy his entire life. So it was in the beginning, you know, where it was like, I'm like, what happened? Like, why are you not, what's up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? Like, this isn't good. Why are you not wanting to have sex with me? Why is this not working in this sexual capacity?
Why am I being a-hole and, you know, mean and short-tempered and not the loving, you know, compassionate, supporting boyfriend I was at the beginning, and then what it turned into. And I mean, we had a lot. I say this anytime we talk to somebody, because I think it's no excuse, but having said that, there are things in life that happen, like circumstances that affect the outcome. And in the span of 6 months, we bought a house together. We got engaged. We got married. We got pregnant. And I was transitioning out of the only career I've ever had.
Okay. But that's not the main reason, though.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying circumstances like happen in life that maybe caused me to be even that much more disconnected.
But the core is you fell in love with me. Yeah. You have intimacy issues. You don't connect love and sex together.
Right.
So from way past, like way before prior. Me.
Right. Yeah. My point in saying that is because, yes, I've always had, I didn't correlate love and intimacy and sex and all that stuff. So that on top of all those other things was like, you know, perfect storm in my brain.
Can we explain?
And then there was the cheating before. And so then that just still so it was, our sex life has been, you know, tumultuous, I said the word. Yeah. But I mean, it's been a work in progress because of those issues and the intimacy.
Is it when you actually physically, emotionally fall in love, did it trigger the intimacy issues?
Yeah.
So you didn't have them when you were just dating. It was as you were falling in love. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it.
I mean,
a
few women in my past that it was kind of weird. I kind of laughed at myself about it, but it's like, I knew I really liked a girl when I started having like issues in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Like literally it was like an alarm clock going off in my body. It's like it would happen. I'd be like, holy shit, I must really like this girl. I must like her a lot. And it's only happened to small amount of women.
And the girls were like, are we not hot right now? Like what's going on?
Yeah. And eventually I got past it and things were okay, but still just, especially initially, it's just, it was really weird, but
is it fear? Is it?
But at the same time, you'd go off and
be
with somebody else easily, but with the person you loved, you wouldn't.
And that's why I've been unfaithful in every relationship I've ever had, ever.
Wow.
Yeah. It sucks. So
it does.
Yeah, it's not easy.
But now you're working on it. Now you guys are working on it.
It is. Yes, we are, but it's, you know, it's still hard for you, because it's like you want to not be always the perpetrator, and you have been in every single one of your relationships.
It's hard when you want to do something, but then like your body or your brain doesn't want to cooperate. You know what I mean? Like your brain and heart are two different things, you know, and it's tough to kind of get both of them on the same path.
Get them in sync.
Yeah, get them in sync on what you really want to do. Man, this is harder to talk about than I thought.
I'm proud of you, though, admitting that. And honestly, that's what drew us together in the first place, because I've cheated plenty in my past. Not proud of it. Mm-hmm. But when we got together, we both were like, and I was like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I cheated on my last relationship. I cheated on the one before that. And I cheated on the one before that. Not proud of it. But I want to be different in this relationship. I want to love you, only love you, and be with you. And what hurt was that he said the same thing. You know what I mean? He's like, me too. I have. And it's like, we finally found someone that like, we got each other.
Yeah. And that's why we connected so quick, so fast, was because we like, loved the flaws in one another.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like majority of the time when people first start dating, people ask that, like, have you ever cheated? And everyone's like, no. Like, they give the political answer. When more times than not, they probably have.
Did you feel like a mirror?
Yeah.
It was just nice to, and finally someone didn't judge me too. Cause I'm like, it sucks. And I'm not proud of it at all. But I knew what I wanted to do different in this relationship. So, you know, when there was infidelity again on his side, I was like, damn it. Mm-hmm. You know, we said we were going to be different, you know, like, Yeah. And so that was like, that was just hard for me. And I know he wants to be different, you know, and he is actively working on his stuff and I'm proud of you for owning all of it too, and wanting to be better and wanting to have intimacy, because the fact that you even want to work on your intimacy and is huge, because you could have easily, I mean, the easiest thing for you, Mike, out of all this was to leave and start a new relationship with someone else that you haven't hurt, doesn't have triggers. I mean, that would have been the easiest thing for you to do. And you,
for both of us.
Yes.
Really? I mean,
yes. But I mean, I give you a lot, because I mean, I feel like it's a bigger uphill battle for you with, you know, everything. So
yeah. I appreciate
and like
that.
Totally like changing your ways and, you know, being, but you know who you want to be, and I know who you want to be, and I know who you can be.
Right.
So thank you for, again, being just super honest. And I think this is going to help a lot of people.
I hope so. Cause it's a tough subject to talk about. And
it is. I can see in your,
go yeah. through it, but.
Okay. So I have to talk to you guys about something. I like brushing my teeth. I brush my teeth twice a day. Well, most of the time, but, what I love about this new toothbrush I'm using is that it keeps me accountable, because I remember I was FaceTiming with my mom the other day and I was like, Mom, I got to brush my teeth. She's like, oh, I will too. So we're FaceTiming. She's like, 2 minutes. And what I love about it is that my toothbrush is actually timed. So my mom stopped at like 30 seconds and she's like, wow, 2 minutes is really long. I'm like, yeah, Mom, I know. That's why you got to get Quip, because it's an electronic toothbrush. Literally has a timer in there, so it helps you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with pulsing. So it really, really, like, the vibration helps clean my teeth so much. So I feel like my teeth are just cleaner, and it's so much better than a regular toothbrush, because, again, I just think having that vibration on your teeth really gets the gook out, and I think it's fantastic. What I also love about it is that Oprah loves it. And whatever Oprah loves, I love. It was on the Oprah's O-List, named one of the Time's best inventions and the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. So I want y'all to be just as happy about brushing your teeth as I am. So Quip starts at just $25 and up. If you go to getquip.com/Jana right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with the Quip electric toothbrush. By the way, it also looks like an iPhone. It's like, looks like it was made from Apple. It's like rose gold. It's beautiful. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/Jana. Spelled getquip.com/Jana. Happy brushing. Let's talk to an expert we have on the line right now. Her name is, I don't want to butcher this.
Cherie.
Is it Cherie?
You got it right.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Cherry. I'm sorry. But Cherie.
No, failed it.
Okay. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I'm just sitting here talking with my husband about sex.
My favorite topic.
Oh, perfect. And we're just kind of, and also producer Jen is here with us.
Hi.
And, you know, we're just kind of talking about how we're now building our sex life through infidelity and intimacy.
Okay.
And if you have any helpful hints, I think, or managing expectations too, is something that I think my husband, like mind reading or having like expectations to please me and to, help us.
Okay. So the infidelity happened on whose part?
Mine.
Okay. And you both want to rebuild and get back to a place or get to a new place in the relationship?
Well, we want to obviously, I mean, we're working on our marriage. What would be helpful? Like, okay, so for me, I'll tell you what I need. And then my husband, you can say what you might need. But for me, I want to know, how do I stop with the comparisons? First of all, because I have a lot of insecurities and I get in my head a lot. Like, how do I stay present with the man that I'm in bed with now, not who he was.
Right.
And then comparing. And then also, you know, if he doesn't want to sleep with me because he's tired, how do I not like be like, well, you wanted to sleep with so-and-so. Why won't you be with me?
Of course. Oh, these are great questions. And let me just start by saying that I went through this too. So I was in your shoes and I've worked with so many clients to get through this, and it's absolutely possible. So what would be paramount is that you two decide what you want now you know, maybe where you were before, there were some holes in the relationship, or one or the both of you were not getting everything that you needed. And so to create a new vision for the relationship is really key. To say, okay, in the future, as we're, you know, day by day rebuilding, what are we building? And really get on the same page about what it is that you want together. Because I imagine there's something better to walk into, you know? You can learn a lot from this instead of walking away from it. So if you're both on the same page about what that vision is, that's going to help a lot. Mm-hmm. Because then you're holding that as opposed to something from the past. You know, we know what happened, but here's where we're going. And work, you know, working towards that is going to be a great container to stay focused on what you two are building, like art. You know, it's something you're creating together, future focused. And then in the present, for you, you know, there's some work that you can do just individually to look at what's the blessing of this. It showed you that you've got some insecurity, some sense of now questioning who you are. And so in that, there's a giant lesson, there's giant growth for you, and that, you know, any of us has that opportunity. But the fact that you have that in your hands now, you can say, all right, how do I see myself? And really go into some exploration of how do I identify? Am I the girl who was cheated on? Or am I, you know, some really beautiful soul on this planet who's worthy of love, who has her own unique flavor of love to give, and start really amplifying how you see yourself. You know, I see that there's these life stages that we go through as men and women. And as a woman, you're going through, can I ask how old you are?
I'm 34.
Okay, so right about that age, you're in what we would call like the princess age before you become a queen. So it sounds really silly, but I think it's a great sort of metaphor that we can relate to, in that you're learning about your power right now. Mm-hmm. And in short order, as you start to approach 40, 50, you're going to step into that power so wholly and become the queen. You know, and then and beyond that, there's other stages. But these stages are important for you to know about now, that you get to be playing with your power and what that means as a woman. You know, how you want to be treated, how much love you have to give, identifying with yourself as a really powerful form of love on this planet for that man that no other woman can compare to, frankly, because there's no other woman exactly like you. And so I would spend my time focusing on your own unique gifts and the own, you know, your own ways of expressing, because when you really, you know, accept that and your own way of being, then yeah, there are a million other flavors of women out there, but when you're really aligned with yours, you become irresistible.
Mhm. I hear you. There's two parts of me. One that's like, yeah, absolutely. Like I am beautiful. And then there's other parts like, well, then why didn't he choose me?
Right. Well, that'd be a really good question. I'd love to hear his answer.
Darling.
I want both your names.
I'm Jana. And then this is my husband, Mike.
Hello, Sheree.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah. Tell me there's a truth here that there was something you weren't getting in life, and maybe not just from Jana, but just in life. Have you guys had that conversation where you've told her really what you were seeking?
Yeah, we have. Mm-hmm. You know, there's as open as we are on this show about our issues, there's still some things that we keep to ourselves. But her and I have had, you know, these conversations, and they've been ongoing. You know, it's been 2 years now almost since kind of discovery. But you know, there's a lot of things that I was missing. I mean, you know, I could spend all day talking about, but our important thing now is kind of, as you said, it's rebuilding who we are as individuals, as two separate human beings, and then within that, coming together stronger than we ever were. And,
right.
You know, there we don't have to be codependent on one another, you know, and wake up in the morning and say, you know, how do I feel today? How am I feeling? You know, and depend on each other to kind of dictate our emotions or our feelings that day, which I think we did for a while at the beginning of our marriage, when we started hitting some just you know, real world, regular stresses in life, and
right.
became kind of codependent on one another and kind of lost part of ourselves in that. I know I did, for sure. So,
and a huge piece of it too is that he does struggle with intimacy, and so that is also an issue,
right.
like with, you know, why he has cheated in previous relationships and then in ours as well.
Yeah.
But I think now, like, as we are coupling together again, you know, how does, I mean, Mike, like, your biggest thing is the mind reading and expectations. Is that what you would say is your?
Yeah, that's definitely one of them. You know, it's for me, again, like I said before, I don't want to feel tested. And so I would like to know what's out on the table, as opposed to in your mind, you might have these expectations. And if I don't meet them, you get upset when, well, that's not fair because I never knew what they were. So I don't know, because we are, again, we're two different people and we think different ways.
Right. So
how would we deal with that then?
Oh, so
there's a shortcut around this that is really just the simplest question, and getting really good at asking this question and giving honest answers. And moment to moment, baby, what do you need? What do you need right now?
I hear that, but at the same time, like, I want him to be able to, I don't want to have to tell him what I need.
I hear you, because you guys have probably been together for a long time, right?
I mean, we've been together for, you know, three and a half, 4 years, but it's like, I'm like, I'm laying in bed, I got a really sexy lingerie thing on. Yeah, I want you to jump me right now. I don't want you to, I don't have to tell you to jump me, you know, like.
Yes, I totally get it. And for us as women, we find it really reassuring that you know us, right? That you can catch our cues. And
I'm like, I'm wearing lingerie. I'm not wearing, like, you know, your big sweatshirt, like your pajamas. Right. Like, hello. And then he's just like, good night, babe. And I'm like, what the, you know, like okay, so what do I want, baby? Air, like, that's what I want. I want the baby. Like,
right. On the air, we could say it out loud that it's now a new code that if mama's wearing lingerie, that means I want you.
I want the D.
yeah, and call me baby.
Yeah, exactly. But well, I mean, simple, I guess, right? I guess the times that, you know, I'm not wearing the lingerie and I still might want to, is it conscious? Should there be conscious times for both of us, even if we're tired or whatever, to try, I guess, or to, like, make the effort? Because
yeah,
I have a hard time. I don't want to ask for that.
Right. No, you want it to be natural. You want to feel wanted. You want, absolutely.
You do. So here's another way.
Something else, because that's not going to work.
It's incredibly generous to have that shortcut, to just sometimes know that he's going to be thinking of other things or have had a busy day or be really tired and just not know. And that is universally a trait that we struggle with. With anyone who identifies masculine, they're in a single-focused mindset, and they're not always going to be able to penetrate the depths of our being and figure out what we're feeling. He should try. Right, Mike, I would think you'd be willing to try to get in there, to give her presence, to get to know her more deeply. I think today it would be really amazing if you could just sign up to always know that she's saying she wants you and she's wearing lingerie. It helps when you start to learn those cues. It builds trust. But for the times that you don't want to do that, I think there's got to be an understanding. So let's say, you know, he's tired, but you really want him. If we flipped it, if you were really tired and he wanted you, if you had the ability to say, look, there are a few things that I need first. I need the dishwasher emptied and I need to take a bath. Right. There are a couple of things I need in order to be able to give that to you, that you guys should be able to ask for that. Like, he may be tired and he can say, I can have a quickie. I can't spend an hour. You know, that there be a little negotiating, because I think that's what we call a level 3 relationship, which is really just all about giving, trying to be a source of your partner's needs. And that's another conversation we can go into more deeply if you want, but it's taking the stance of being just a total giver and wanting to give to your love. So if she really needs you, then Mike, you get to ask for what, you know, do you get to take a power nap first? You're going to go get a coffee? Like, what do you need in order to give her that? Because what I think is really helpful is to say, in all relationships that you have an, you have, this is a great metaphor, but I'm a 24/7 always open restaurant for you. But if you're going to come by around 3 a.m, you got to expect that the waitress is going to be a little cranky and not give you like the best 5-course meal, you know, and or that maybe you can just decide as a couple that there's certain hours that you're closed for business.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, and that's, and that's, we had an argument about that because, you know, he like woke me up and I was like, I don't want to just be woken up like to having sex, you know what I mean? But he's like, well, I was giving you like, you want to have sex all the time. And I was like, yeah, but I want like, I want you to maybe kiss me before. Don't wake me up like when I'm dead sleep. Like, you know,
but she, but this is where she said, she has said both. Like sometimes she's like, I just want you to jump my bones and stuff like that. And don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like we're having plenty of sex and this is just where our issues come up are in these situations. Right. But I mean, it, you've given me both signs. Like you said both things where you're like, you've literally said to me, wake me up. Like, I won't care. Like, wake me up.
I don't remember ever saying wake me up.
I promise you.
Okay. Don't wake me up.
So here's the deal. Yeah. Now we know.
That's on, now we know. The record. On the record.
And that's the greatest thing about
shake
being
me first. Yeah,
we and if, change our minds.
Exactly. Yes, we absolutely do change our minds. Yeah. Now, now I'm in a different. Now we're, now that we're 2 years past in Philly stuff. Don't wake me up.
Yeah. So you guys decide, and the, and that's really generous to say. Like, here's when I'm open for business. Here's my favorite.
I'm open for business like 16 hours of the day.
So that's amazing. And then to give him a sense of what turns you on, I call them jump starts. Like, what would be the 0 to 60 move? You know, that would really turn you on, and what you might know for him too, like a 0 to 60 move that you don't have to beg and plead. You could do one or two things that you know are always going to turn him on, you know, to share that with each other.
Okay, Sheree, I have a question you, because the common misconception, and I mean, rightfully so, is that, you know, men, we're just like light switches. We can just turn it on. Oh, our, you know, our spouse wants to have sex. Yeah, let's do this. Like, you know, no issue. Well, you know, I think, or at least for me personally, when I struggle with intimacy and really connecting with, you know, with Jana and, you know, who I'm in a relationship with, for me, it's not just a light switch sometimes. Sometimes it is. I mean, shoot, yesterday it was, you know, spontaneous and, you know, it wasn't a big issue at all. But sometimes for me, it's like, I feel like right now she's just waiting for me to make a move and make her feel special. When sometimes in my mind, I'm like, what about me? Like, I'm here too. Like, I don't see anything coming to me and making me feel special sometimes.
And I think I'm first of all, I'm sorry, like that you feel that way. I think for me, maybe why I don't is because I'm still in that, like, I want you to choose me because I haven't felt chosen in our relationship. So I think that's where like infidelity has screwed up our sex life. But I mean, I feel like we're kind of getting to a place now where it's something that, you know, that is something that I can now try more on.
Yeah.
Because, but, and here's, but here's my issue with it though. When I have done it, my biggest thing is I, when he rejects me, I get furious because I'm like, oh, you're rejecting me. You did not reject them.
Right.
And so when I get rejected, if I, I'm telling you right now, if I start to try and I get rejected, it won't be pretty because I'm going to be upset. And I have been before, like when I have tried. So what, Sheree, what do I do in that instance where I'm like, I am trying and, but now I'm not getting chosen or he's not going to sleep with me.
Right. Right. Well, there's a number of things. I think knowing what you guys are building and being future focused or even present focused, you're going to have an easier time because what happens in that moment, which I totally get, is you go back into the past. Mm-hmm. And that is where, like, I want you still to prove to me that I'm lovable. I want you to choose me. I want you to undo this. So there's a something, a ritual that you guys have to have around forgiving this and drawing a line in the sand and saying, we are going to move beyond this. I'm not going to make anything in the future now mean that I'm not as good as her.
But what do I do when he rejects me when I'm trying?
So, yeah. So then that's the other thing is you in life, you have the ability to choose the meaning for everything, right? This guy just cut me off. I'm going to make it mean, right? Or I didn't get you know, this opportunity, I'm going to make it mean. And you can choose that. That's what your brain does 24/7. So you can now redefine it. If he doesn't want you in that moment, or if he's not turned on, you get to consciously decide, what does this mean? And it's really something that I would sort of check with him on, you know, like, honey, I need some help here. What does this mean? Does it mean that you're just tired? Does it mean that you're not attracted to me? Does it mean later? Like, try to find something that actually empowers you and has you feel close to him. Because it's usually something that is better than what we're making up in our minds. And I have this whole commitment to myself that my mind will make up all kinds of crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes wrong. It's most often wrong. And so I say to my love, honey, I am making up a story right now, and I'm not sure if it's true. Can I check it out with you? Because what I'm feeling right now is totally rejected, you know, and completely closed off and shut down. And I don't want to feel that.
Sheree,
could have that with him?
Go ahead, Mike.
Do you think you could have that?
Yeah, I mean, I would love that. It's just, I'm, again, in my right, healthy brain, I'm saying absolutely.
Yeah.
And my other rejected, you know, hurt wife, not feeling good enough, that hurts. And I can try to work on asking him that. But again, it's taking a huge leap for me to try. Trust.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of work. And what I would say would be an easier way, because you've got like your high self, right? You're like, you've been calling that your healthy self, your wiser self. When you're in your prefrontal cortex, or you're in your heart and you're feeling safe, you can always be her and you'll have a great conversation with him. But there's going to be the times when you get triggered, or when you go out of that area straight into the amygdala and you are reptilian brain and you're going to react. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have an agreement with Mike. And Mike, if you would be so generous to hold her when she gets triggered, to stay there like a redwood tree and say, okay, this doesn't scare me. I've got this. It's her hurt feelings will come out. And I would say, Jana, for you just to like cry and say, I feel rejected. I don't feel good right now. Now this really hurts me, and be in your vulnerability. Then Mike, you get to hold that and know this without a shadow of a doubt, that these moments will pass. They're not going to be here forever. She's not going to test you forever or bring up the past for forever. But if you can stand there and be present to that emotion and hold it, every time it comes up, that'll be like one last time, and it'll finally go away. She's going to work through those emotions and learn to trust you again. If you can just say, you don't scare me, I got you. This doesn't mean that I'm rejecting you, and reassure her, which I'm sure feels like a pain in the butt. At some times you'd love for this to go away, but if you're willing to do that for some period of time, you'll notice major progress.
Absolutely. I mean, that's Sheree, you're amazing.
That's a great tool.
I know, I'm like crying over here.
Yeah, no, it's a, like Sheree said, it's like a trust fall, you know. It's leaning into one another. And, you know, just to speak my opinion on that, like if Jana came to me and, you know, I just got home from work or whatever it may be, and she's, you know, wanting to be intimate, however you want to call that, it's, if I, you know, said no, whatever, that's not rejection coming from me. But if she came to me softly, like she asks of me and said, hey, because you don't want to, like, be physical right now, this is how I'm feeling. I would immediately, my guard would go down. I would not put any walls up, and I would be like, oh my gosh, like, that is not at all like what I'm trying to portray to you. Like, I love you. Like, that would help me be more intimate and help me be, you know, there for her and be that redwood and be strong for her and hold her and be like, oh my gosh, you must be feeling pain. Like, that is not at all what I'm trying to do, is reject you.
That is huge, Mike. That is so huge. Because, you know, what we do is when we go into that amygdala, we go into the protective outside feelings like anger.
Absolutely.
And defensiveness, like, oh, I'm going to take you down, you know, like, because that feels safer to us than crying and feeling how hurt and rejected we are.
No question.
So it's going to take major courage on your part, Jana, but it's going to make you a lover who can stay open instead of shutting down and pushing him away.
Yeah, I get it. I'm sorry. I'm like getting emotional. Together. Yeah.
And she knows, I mean,
that's okay.
I am the world's worst at defensiveness. Like, yeah. I am an ultimate defender. And for me, if she reacted in a negative way and started screaming at me saying, you don't choose me, you chose them, so on and so forth, then I would get into a place of, okay, I'm not good enough because look at all these other things I'm doing that are right. I'm being vulnerable. I'm being honest. Clearly, that's not enough for her. That's in my brain. That's what that means. Where I'm like, she doesn't see all the great things I am doing and changing. She's taking the one thing I didn't do right in this moment and blowing up about it. And that sends me through the roof. And she knows that. But it's just, it's so hard. I get in that situation. It's hard to control those emotions that she must be feeling. And again, when she comes to me soft, I melt. I do.
Of course. Because you love her. And I'll tell you what, here's a secret superpower of yours, Mike, that if she does come to you with anger, know that right behind it is a scared little girl who's hurting. And that if you just stand like a giant redwood tree and like go, okay, I'm not afraid of this. The anger is just a shield. And I'm going to hold her. I'm going to look at her in the eyes. I'm going to listen and just watch. It'll come down.
It's a little girl just wanting to be chosen.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jana's pretty scary. I challenge anyone to stand in front of her like a red oak and take that.
You can. You totally have her heart in your hand, so you can hold it.
Well, I'm obsessed with you, and you are now our new life coach.
I mean, people just literally are listening. Whoever's listening to this, just that's like a couple's therapy session.
Yeah. It really was incredible.
Gold. And again, like there's so many people that are dealing with, you know, this issue and sex in general. And can I read you just a few emails just to lighten some of this a little bit and help some of our listeners out? Okay.
Absolutely.
So it says, hi, love. I have a question for you. I have a friend who was born and raised Christian. She got married 2 years ago and her husband still have sex problems. They haven't had real, normal, successful sex. What are your thoughts on that? She asks.
Well, it could be so many things. The fact that she said Christian, you know, I grew up Catholic, so I'm aware of what comes with that. And there can be a real distorted understanding of sex. There can be a lot of misunderstandings of how good it is, how pure it is, and, you know, what a healthy thing it is. So maybe there's some issues there. I think that sex is like the topic that nobody gets taught about. We don't talk about it. I mean, we have so few skills around it. And it really probably comes down to a skill gap, like a communications challenge and a skill gap of asking for what we need. You know, everybody needs this. It's like food and water for us as human beings. And if they have any sort of challenge around communicating what their heart's desire is or who they are and what they need, then there's just going to be a standoff. And it probably has roots in what you're experiencing, Jana. Somebody's feeling rejected, and then that shut them down. Mm-hmm. And when one person withholds, the other person automatically withholds. And so you have this domino effect of withholding and then just trying to cope, you know, with maybe this is what married sex looks like, which is a tragedy.
Well, and here's another one. Lately, and possibly for the last couple of years, I have found myself not 100% attracted to my husband. I absolutely love him and don't want to divorce him, but I'm finding other men more attractive. What is wrong with me? To be honest, though, I never married him for his looks, but I was definitely more attracted to him when we were dating. All of this has caused a block in our sex life. I'm wondering if a lot of this has to do with the comfort level of being married for almost 4 years, because 9 times out of 10, he just smells bad, whether it burps or farts. I like how she says, whether it, not him, whether it burps, farts, or a bad cough. We have been trying to better our marriage via marriage counseling books, as we can't afford a marriage counselor. I feel I can talk to him about anything except this one issue of my attractiveness to him. How can we even discuss that? I feel if I told him I wasn't 100% attracted to him, that it would be a huge blow and may also lead to him thinking I don't love him. So yeah. I think, you know, you guys, Mike and you can both, as a man's perspective, and then, you know, from your knowledge, what do you think?
Yeah, Mike, do you want to go first on that?
Sure. I mean, that's a doozy. For me, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Jana came to me.
Well, I said that to you before, though. Remember when the infidelity stuff happened? I said, I'm not attracted to you anymore.
Yeah, but that's, I gave you a reason.
He farts and burps and,
yeah, but that,
you know,
I mean,
what I mean?
That's
like maybe that's like, hey, can you bring maybe a little bit more of the like
romance?
Well, and that's what I was going to say. For me personally, I think you're the same way, is Jana and I always want to impress each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the way you and I will always be, is I don't think couples should get too comfortable where they stop wanting to impress the other person. Like when Jana and I go out and we get dressed up, like we compliment each other because we want to look good for one another. We don't just, go through emotions. Like that's, something we take pride in. So I think that in that relationship, that's something that they should talk about. Is like, hey, honey, like if she doesn't want to bring up his attractiveness, be like, hey, I really want to like impress you and like make you feel this way about me or help you feel this way about me. And, maybe he'll just naturally want to like do the same. So she's more attracted to him.
I think
that's a good point.
I think Mike's right. People do get way too comfortable. When I was married, I would end up sending like, oh, this is what I want for my anniversary. This is what I want for Hanukkah. This is what I want for Christmas. This is what I, because he didn't know. So you end up getting, the comfort level is so high that you just become these strangers who are just emailing and texting each other.
Cohabitating.
And cohabitating. Yeah. And you're not, there's no romance left. There's no communication. There's, and none of your needs are being met on any level.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to bring the romance back. It's only been 4 years. Shoot, mine was almost 17 years. So
yeah.
They need to work on that now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'd say, I completely agree with what you guys have said, and I think that there's an energy that also creates attraction. Sometimes we limit the definition of intimacy or attraction to just one thing, like intimacy only equals sex versus touching and talking and like sending texts to each other and all the other things that could equal intimacy. And attractiveness also comes from like the masculine energy he might be putting out, like the stuff he's talking about at dinner, the things that he's bringing to her that would be a turn on. So I'd be so interested. They say if you focus on what you love, like you did in the beginning of the relationship, there'd never be an end. We start out focusing on all the things that we love, like, oh my God, his hands, oh my God, the way he talks, oh my God, the thing, like you just can't help but focus on all the great stuff. And then as time goes on and hurts happen, you start to focus on all the things you don't like. And that's what undoes us. So I'd be so interested to see if she could start to talk about the things that really turn her on. Like we don't go to museums anymore, or like the things that they could do or talk about that would really bring back
ignite
that energy.
Their old fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that,
and why they fell in love.
Right. And in that higher level relationship, that's your desire as a partner, is to be like, I want to rock your world. So keep telling me, what does it for you? Cause it does change over time too. And I agree with her that she didn't marry him for his looks. So this really isn't the issue. There's probably something else, that maybe he's shut down a bit energetically, or he's not coming home as on fire as he used to. And that's a cool conversation to have. They can get that back.
And I would challenge her. I hope she emails response if she does anything about this. But again, like Jana and I talk about, is kind of ask for what you need. Like, Jana likes to sit back sometimes and see what I'm going to do to choose her, to make her feel special. Well, sometimes in a relationship, if they're at that kind of comfort level, like remind him, like go to him.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, honey, this is, where I feel like we're lacking. Like, I would love for you to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Because he might think everything's okay. In his world, he might think everything is fine. And then next thing you know, she blindsides him with, I don't think this relationship, this marriage is working. He's like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, right.
So just go talk to him.
The best marriage vows I ever heard were when the man said to the woman, I promise to never know you.
Mm.
And at first I was like, is that a good thing? But then I realized it was the best thing that you could say to someone, because every single day so many things happen to us that change us, and if they could bring that back, like act like you don't know each other at all.
That's great.
Every day. and be curious about each other, then that creates a sense of openness, you know, where anything is possible.
Yeah, and mystery, and romance. Mysteriousness,
yeah.
Yeah, the mystery we're all looking for.
Is that
for.
What you would say, too, to, like, the mom at the end of the day that, you know, they haven't had sex in a month and a half and they're exhausted and tired? I mean, is it just, is it that, too, like, kind of reigniting something to... You know, like, we have friends that haven't had sex in a while.
And do they,
like,
need the yoni egg?
Yeah, they need the yoni egg. But is that just, like, something where, like, you just have to reignite and spice it up a little bit? Like, because some moms are just like, I'm so tired, I don't want to have sex.
Well, and so that'd be interesting to, like, change up, you know, the ritual, right? Because, yes, in the mom mode, and, you know, you're raising little kids, there's this period of time where everybody's highest need is certainty. It's just routine and the same, same, and make sure no one dies every day. It's, like, not a really great period of time for couples. So I would say, you know, knowing what would restore a really tired mama and have her transition from mom mode into woman mode, that's a bridge that, you know, we as women should get good at getting ourselves over, but it's so nice to have a man help you. And so, you know, when at the end of the day, whoever's, you know, babies are in bed, would a really nice bath together be something that would feel connecting
that.
And sensual?
Like, oh, I love that.
Right? Would a massage feel really good?
Nice.
And then, you know, with those sorts of things, it's highly likely that it could lead.
I mean, I asked Michael last night to put lotion on my legs. Did any lotion get on my legs? Negative.
That's amazing.
He did not get my cue.
Well, I think we need to make a list, but these are all the cues. This is my language. This is my sex language.
And I just got
lingerie,
the middle finger.
Lingerie lotion.
Well, I cannot thank you enough. You have made me laugh. You've made me cry. You have given us some really good tips. And again, I know a lot of my wind down listeners need this. So thank you so incredibly much. Can my listeners find you somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a website that's my name, CherieHealy.com, and I'll spell it for you. It's CHERIEHEALEY. And there's all kinds of good info out there around how to become the person you're here to be and do what you're here to do on the planet.
Well, I love you. So
oh,
thank
man.
You so much. I'm we really
so
appreciate it.
I'm so grateful
that.
To know you guys. You're so welcome. Thank you for having
thank
me.
Thank you.
Bye.
So this was supposed to be the sex episode. And believe me, I have so much sex stuff to talk about and ask about, but it turned into the Jana and Mike couples therapy episode,
right.
which I'm not saying it did not disappoint, because you guys were so open that I was nearly in tears, because I was really in it with you guys. And I have empathy and for both of you, because you guys are so open that we're getting both sides, and it's so honest that it's mind blowing. It really
and
is.
And it's helping a lot of people.
Yeah.
I hope so. That was terrifying. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. I am. I'm really proud of you. Thank you for being open to being open.
Well, I just hope it helps, like, some couples out there.
It does. I mean, there's a one girl, she's like, I literally sat my husband down and I said, listen to Mike, listen to his empathy for her when she gets triggered. Please, I need that. And he was like, you know, wow. Like, and he was able to sit in her pain and sit in, you know, so I think having your side of things, and, you know, again, like, we're 2 years post, but, you know, and now we're able to, you know, you told me some things that I have to work on, and that's, you know, that's helpful for me and for the other listeners out there that can relate to that. Okay, so you guys know my obsession with HelloFresh because, again, I'm not the greatest cook and I love easy recipes and the fact that they deliver the groceries to me. I don't have to go searching in the grocery store. It's so easy. 30-minute recipes. Like my husband says, every time HelloFresh comes, it's like a halo at the front door over the bags that are delivered. What I love, though, right now is this thing called Green Chef. They actually are owned by HelloFresh, but the difference between HelloFresh and Green Chef is that Green Chef is the first USDA certified organic meal kit delivery service that includes everything you need to cook delicious gourmet meals that you can feel good about. So yes, HelloFresh is amazing, but if you want organic meals sent to your door, then definitely go to Green Chef. So again, if you want organic meals for $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/Jana. That's greenchef.us/Jana. I promise you it's going to be the best meal you ever ate.
I have one more email.
Oh, okay.
And it's from Holly.
Hi, Holly.
And this will wrap this up nicely. How did you know Michael was the one? She's about to graduate college and she's been with her boyfriend since high school. And she says, I love him more than anything, but I find myself doubting the relationship a lot. How did you know Michael was the one?
Okay. So this question has been asked to me before, and it was always a one-part answer. It's now a two-part answer. So the first part is I knew he was the one from, I mean, I know this is the most cliche answer ever. I knew he was the one from the moment I saw him. It was because I saw a pain in him that I could relate to. I saw, and then when once I got to know him and I was like, we have the same struggles. And I loved his heart. I loved his openness and his willingness to bear that. And yes, was it perfect in the beginning? No. But for me, it was someone, you know, he loved kids and he loved me. He loved me for my flaws. And that was huge for me. Now, the second part of this is how I know he's the one is because he has stood by me through all the hardship and hasn't walked away. Because the one, your one does not walk away from all the hard pain and the past that we've had. There's been so many times when, again, he could have walked away, I could have walked away, but the one is going to be the one still fighting for you, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh.
When did you know that Jana was the one?
Tell me more.
We said I love you after 10 days of even knowing each other.
In 5 hours.
Yeah. it was the week
I was in Austin.
I flew out to Chicago to see her. I was in between the time of off season and before training camp, and I flew out to a show to see her in Chicago. Had a great time.
We kissed by the monkeys because we were at the Chicago Zoo.
So sweet.
Yeah. Cute. And it was later that week. I remember I was helping Miz and his now wife, Marissa, pick up like a washing machine or something like off of, from somewhere. And when I was living in Baltimore, and they asked me like, how'd it go? It was like 2 days later. I was like, I'm going to marry this girl.
Wow.
It was crazy. And they're like, at first they thought it was just like infatuation because she's a celebrity and it's just that whole package that goes along with it. I'm like, no guys, like, I can't explain it. I literally couldn't put it into words. And my buddy, Miz, like, he was my, like, partner in crime, like, through college and stuff like that. Like, he knows me in and out. And he's just like, okay, So from that moment on, from that first week of meeting her, and for the same reasons, it's just I was really never honest in a relationship to my fullest extent. And to be that honest with somebody that quick and find connection in flaws that you have and character defects. It's like, what is this honesty thing? Like what is this crazy feeling I'm feeling? So, it was within the first week of knowing her and like Jan said, knowing each other's hearts and where they are, regardless of the things that we've gone through now, it's our hearts are still in the right place. We still want the same things. We are taking the hardest road to get there. But,
yeah, thanks.
Yeah. For her, if this guy, she's been with him since high school, a lot of people would say, go out, explore the world and whatever.
Right.
But it's like, if she knows this guy is going to stand by her.
But she finds doubt.
Anyone would find doubt if they've
not,
been
I
with,
did not have doubt with you.
Her doubt comes from time, the timetable, from high school to through college. It's like,
I'm just saying, if you have doubt, listen to your gut, listen to your heart.
Because all she hears is, you've been with so-and-so, ever since, high school. Like, don't you want to go out and see what's out there?
That's not what it said. She says, I love him more than anything, but I find myself doubting the relationship.
I know it's not what it says. That's what people are probably telling her.
They're in her ear.
They're in her ear.
And if they're not, and she is doubting it, that's...
Yeah, and that's something to be said about that. Yeah. But also, so, it could be off nothing. It could just be from her age and being like, man, I haven't explored what's out there.
Right.
Holly, okay. I was looking at Facebook. I'm talking directly to you. I was looking at Facebook yesterday and scrolling through, and I saw one of my high school friends with her husband, who she was dating when we were in 10th grade, and I will be 44 in June. So they're happy. Mm-hmm. They have, I think, 4 or 5 kids. Some of them are in college now, and they have been together since 10th grade.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's it.
That's like, Charlie and Shelley.
Yeah, they're so cute together.
My friends, one of my best friends from college, it's like him and his, wife dated since high school because they were kids basically. Mm-hmm. And now they're married and have a daughter, and I mean, they're the best people ever. Yeah. They're so happy.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Totally possible.
All right. Well, you guys, if you have any questions or you need some answers, please, please, please email me at janakramer@iheartmedia.com. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jen. Thank you for winding down with us, and we'll do it again next time.